Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, let me just get through this right now. If you have tried to go to theparacast.store and you see that the sales site is no longer there, we are undergoing another transition. And there will be a new site. Eventually, you'll see the items on it called theparacast.shop.
Right. I'm really looking forward to that. We got talking with today about that with one of the people from the Nimble platform, and that went really well. So I'm looking forward to setting that up. That looks like it should be something that we can handle ourselves and maintain pretty easily.
Anyway, we'll tell you more about it when we get closer to the launch. Let's continue with this show.
Right. So we were just talking before the break. I think maybe there was a mix up in terms of sort of what projects we were talking about and who was doing what.
I wasn't mixed up. I simply have a different understanding of the history of this based on conversations with the actual people who were involved in it than you do. You think that Project Sign was this frantic effort in beginning in 1947, which, by the way, is the year the United States Air Force came into existence out of the Army. I think it was an effort to reassure the public that something untoward, because of the war nerves that they were perceiving, was happening. I don't know how anyone who knows anything about U.S. military history after the farce in Iraq can believe government statements about more or less anything, but especially about something that is a sensitive issue, particularly in light of the fact that almost everything from around 1948 on until the end of the Cold War, or the end of the first Cold War anyway, in roughly 1990-91, was seen in terms of the holy crusade against communism, and specifically Soviet communism. And the UFO phenomenon was of interest to the military and to the CIA, also formed at that same time, headed by eventually the head of the board of the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena. You remember them, Gene, those guys?
There is technically still a NICAP out there having very, very, very little resemblance to the original.
I'm aware of that, but I don't, that, as you say, it has very little resemblance to the original and is a marginalized group. I mean, MUFON is the dominant mainstream UFO group at this point. The original groups, APRO and NICAP, the people that headed them are long dead. And with them, the organizations gradually vanish. MUFON has managed somehow to generate a second and maybe even a third generation of leadership, and thus has survived as the preeminent mainstream nuts and bolts UFO group. That isn't what the point that I was trying to make is that this should not come as a revelation. The military lies about things that it perceives to be in the interest of the United States. And during the Cold War, almost anything that you would hear or was written down or discussed was in terms of how does it advance the war against communism? Or did the communists generate this? I had an extensive conversation with Dewey Fournet, who was the Pentagon monitor for the UFO project in July 1952 and thereafter. And he told me a good deal about the before I had seen it. In fact, That was at a convention that you were present at, Gene. So you may have seen Fournet as well, but this was a convention put on by AFRO, NICAP, and MUFON. And we went there concerned that they were going to create a monopoly in the UFO field. Do you recall this? Mid-70s, maybe?
I recall going to one or two of these things. Where was this held?
Some little town in Podunk. I don't remember if that's maybe he said something about it.
I remember a convention in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
That was it.
I was there, but I saw you there, but I do not remember seeing him.
You and I actually did an interview with a reporter from one of the scandal sheets, the National something or other. And I remember the light coming into the eyes of the reporter about four-fifths of the way through the interview where he looks at us and said, "You guys are not believers, are you?" And we laughed and said, "No, we're explorers," which did not get quoted in the National whatever it was.
By the way, I did an interview with Major Kehoe, who was there, for another National whatever it was, but that National whatever it was went out of business before they cut my check.
Yeah, well, you don't remember this interview? It was in a hotel room, maybe your room. Anyway, that doesn't particularly matter. I did extensive interviewing there with people that I didn't ordinarily see. Dr. Hynek, the Lorenzens, who you know, I barely was on speaking terms with, and with Fournet, who I did not expect to get the kind of information that I did. But he basically said that the intention of the Air Force, United States Air Force attitude towards UFOs was, at least from 1952 on, and I think that was it already Blue Book or was it still Project Grudge at that point? There is no discontinuity, and I will take exception to that vigorously, between Sign, Grudge, and Blue Book. And perhaps this the latter day thing that that the Navy is undertaking. I don't know. I have more faith in the Navy, I have a son who's a Navy vet, than I do in the Air Force or Army or anybody that was engaged in heavy, heavy, heavy Cold War stuff. Be that as it may, Fournet told me that as of July 1952, there was a genuine fear, I think perhaps legitimate, that because, and keep in mind that technology was nothing like it, it became later in the Cold War, because the technology that would detect a Soviet first strike, which would have been not a missile attack, but bombers, would not have been seen when the UFOs showed up over the Pentagon and I believe the White House, over restricted airspace, and were seen both on radar and by pilots who were scrambled to intercept whatever it was. And it jammed all of the communication channels that they had. In those days, there was a thing called the Ground Observer Corps that literally were volunteer civilians who went out and scanned the sky. They got a little, you know, education on what Soviet bombers look like and what other bombers look like. And they would scan the skies looking for the invasion to come, which never came and was never really contemplated, actually.
You know, I'm scanning the skies now for some announcements. And one we'll give you is that we want to offer you, in the sixth year now, the Paracast Plus. Check out plus.theparacast.com or theparacast.plus. To learn more, you get the After the Paracast podcast, a version of this show, free of the network ads. Check out theparacast.plus for more information. Prices start at just $1.50. Gene Allen Randall, you're in
the Paracast. Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Well, hey, we kind of went wandering kind of away from where I was trying to get with the point I was making, though, you guys, is that when we were asking the question is of how did we get to the assumption that UFOs are some sort of alien craft, there was that aspect of it back in those days. And then that was combined with the contactees who were saying, well, they're Venusians. They're coming from someplace else. So between the cultural, pop cultural contactee movement and the actual investigations that were going on at the time, that became the default paradigm, so to speak. So that's all I was wanting to get is that's where it came from.
That's an inadequate explanation. I don't think the Air Force indulged very briefly that notion after the, quote, Roswell incident, which I think is ridiculously exaggerated, not to speak ill of the dead, but Stan Friedman made a career out of Roswell, and I personally think it was an unimportant case. It was a skyhook balloon that landed somewhere other than where they anticipated, caused a lot of local ruckus, and some local officer said flying saucers from other planets. But that had already been planted earlier than that, and it, not by the government. The government was reacting to it, and then a little later dismissed it. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the film of General, whatever his name was, reassuring the public that there was no evidence that that these were interplanetary craft. What he was really saying is there's no evidence of a Soviet invasion, which really, you know, I mean, that was in Stalin's day, and that was in Joe McCarthy's day, so not an impossibility. After the, what I wanted to get in was after the 1952 summer flap, the CIA decided that it was dangerous to American security for there to be private UFO organizations because, and this is the mentality of the time, it's not a view that I share at all, they could be infiltrated by the Communist Party USA, seven little ladies that lived in New York and got out the Daily Worker when it was still daily. And decided that UFO organizations were therefore not necessarily people that were unpatriotic, but it was ipso facto a threat to national security.
Right, you're talking about the Robertson panel. Probably.
Yeah, but the Robertson panel was an outcome. Okay, the Robertson panel didn't initiate stuff. It reviewed the evidence to date from 1947 to 1950. Well, they convened in 1953, so we'll say till 1953, and concluded this is a threat to national security. Look what happened in D.C. That's not a quote, but that's what they said. And this was confirmed by Fournet, and I also got a... I don't have a copy, but I got to look at it because it was at that time not destroyed, and I believe the destroyed thing is a disinformation thing. It was in the files of Project Blue Book. What happened is that I started to say earlier was that Blue Book closed, and there was a rumor from where I don't know that the files were going to be destroyed. So at that time, a very powerful senator, Senator Russell, a staunch segregationist, but also a much respected senator from that period of time from Georgia, was the head of the Armed Services, the Senate Armed Services Committee. And I thought, well, he only lives right up the road here, and Congress is not in session. I'll write him at home because he lived in Winder, Georgia, which is just up the road from here. And I wrote him, and I said basically just the conservative message that you give, which is, I think that these files should be preserved because they may be of scientific value at a later time. And he wrote me back very promptly from Winder, if I remember correctly, and said, I think that there's merit in what you're saying, and if you, and the files are now at Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville, Alabama. If you can apply for a security clearance on, you know, he offered to be helpful there, you'll be able to visit those files and review, you know, what the content is, but I don't think there's any danger of it being destroyed in any case. I did. I went. I bumped into the recently retired Wernher von Braun, which is, I mentioned that in passing on some program, but there, the only thing they kept of my interview was, Greenfield met Wernher von Braun. Yeah, well, that was like a 2-minute meeting. I saw him going through some files and wondering what he was doing in the flying saucer section, and I introduced myself and refrained from saying, so how is the war criminal business? By the way, I'm Jewish.
Jewish.
You're Nazi. But I didn't say any of that. I just said, you know, you've been an inspiration to us all. And I said, so what are you doing with the UFO stuff? And he told me something that I'm not going to say again because that's not the center of attention. Point is, I ran across the
We're talking about the Project Blue Book archives, which actually Greenwald, I think, has got a copy of all of those. And there's a site you can go to that's got all of the microfilm stuff called the Blue Book Archives. I did a whole bunch of research through that, digging up information for the USI website. So a lot of the stuff I have on my site is directly from Blue Book files that were once formerly top secret.
Well, I don't think these were top secret because my clearance was, I think, secret. I don't remember. It's been a lot of years. It was enough to get me into all the files, which included files from Sign, Grudge, and Blue Book. Apparently, whatever they had on UFOs wound up in that file. It was later moved, I understand, back to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, which is where Blue Book had been headquartered. Where it is now or anytime recently, I don't know. But there was nothing remarkable except the notion that UFOs were considered possibly a threat as a rumor, not as an extraterrestrial invasion, because the rumor could potentially mask a Soviet invasion and even much as is being discussed now about Russian interference in U.S. elections, not that Russia is the Soviet Union anymore. It's an interesting conflation there.
You mean it wasn't done by Ukraine? I am not saying that seriously, ladies and gentlemen. I do not want to get into political controversies either. We've got Gene Steinberg, Alan Greenfield, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
U.S. officials that are now investigating the deadly attack by a Saudi aviation student at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida, are still trying to figure out if the attacker was motivated by terrorism. The gunman was an aviation student from Saudi Arabia. He opened fire in a classroom at the Naval Air Station on Friday, killing 3 people and injuring 8 others, including 2 deputies. U.S. Attorney Larry Keefe.
The vast resources of this country have been
specifically designated and flown here from all parts and all places and are localizing and focusing on this investigation. There is no expense that will be spared. The amazing number of resources that are being allocated and flown here is astounding, and you, the family members and loved ones, should know that.
The assault ended when a sheriff's deputy shot and killed the attacker. This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family from criminals, and he's the one arrested. The legal system is not fair, and responsibly armed Americans are political targets. So here's how you can take a simple and rewarding journey to complete self-defense confidence. Simply text GCN to 87222 to discover how the USCCA can give you the training, education, legal, and financial protection you need to truly protect the people you love. Don't risk everything and leave your family vulnerable. Now it's time to prepare and protect yourself. So if you're ready to take your next step as a responsibly armed American, you're ready to truly become your family's ultimate protector. Text GCN to 87222. Discover your life-saving USCCA member benefits today. Again, that's text GCN to 87222.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I want to just kind of drop this back in there. Have you followed the stuff that was written by James Carrion, that former MUFON director, Alan?
No, I haven't followed MUFON since Walt left.
Okay, no, this is something he did after he left that organization. He wrote two books, one called The Rosetta Deception, the other The Roswell Deception, talking about ghost rockets and Roswell, both being plots to spook the Russians.
Oh, that's entirely possible. I think that at one time, before it became, you know, something that people just went totally insane over, the notion that there were alien bodies or something sinister at Area 51 was to conceal the fact that that is and was a test area for state-of-the-art aircraft technology. It's not a place for human-alien intercourse, as it were. Shut everybody up, I guess. Well, I had done. I mean, what was the last thing you heard me say? The last word I used was intercourse, meaning, of course, discussion and interaction between aliens and humans developing technological breakthroughs in exchange for whatever the aliens from Alpha Centauri 3C or whatever.
Well, right. I mean, we have a lot. Okay, so virtually all of the contactees that I know about, and I'm not really into the whole contactee thing or the abduction thing in a huge way, but I've never heard any of them say that the aliens don't come from another planet. You know, like it's if you've got the Billy Meyer thing, it's some planet out in the Pleiades system, unless, of course, he's changed that over the years because they couldn't find anything out there that corresponded to it, or you've got the Venusians, or you've got a number of other ones that all of the high-profile ones come from some other world besides ours. So that's just part of what everybody thinks in terms of UFOs. That's how it got in, how that paradigm built was because of the way that the stories were all told by people who claimed to have direct contact with them.
Well, other than Adamski, actually the stories conform to the popular mythos, not the other way around. In other words, if people had said, oh, they're all from China, people would be taking trips to China instead of these planetary things. That's what my book, The Complete Secret Cipher of the Ufonauts, decodes, which is that the ridiculous names that contactees, abductees give for the, quote, planets that they visit and, quote, the names of beings that they encounter. By the way, it's not all...
Well, Adamski is a perfect example. I mean, like in 1955, his book Inside the Spaceships recounted his adventures with Venusians, Martians, and Saturnians who had come to Earth, you know, out of concern over our self-destructive ways. So,
Adamski is not typical of anything. Adamski probably, in my opinion, wrote the story originally as a science fiction story in the 1940s. Either submitted it or thought about submitting it to one of the many pulp science fiction magazines of the period, was not able to sell it as a fiction book, and then after the UFO craze started, he probably did some rewrites and pitched it and somehow or other got in cahoots with a more articulate person in England, and Desmond Leslie, and whose father, by the way, was a distinguished British politician and peer, actually.
Right. But then, of course, because of that, they started having these meetings at Giant Rock, and then out of that came George Van Tassel, who said that he was having psychic contact with extraterrestrial starships. So, you know, once again, we have the idea of but this is sort of a bit beside the point. We know that this happened. We know it became a paradigm in terms of our thinking and, like you were saying, our beliefs. So when did the shift start to happen away from the idea that what we're dealing with are alien craft and something else? Are there some real demarcating points in your research where people are going, hey, wait a minute, like who was the first one? I mean, of course, there's Carl Jung, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, Jung thought that they were physically real, but he also thought that was sparking an archetypal psychological phenomenon. If you read, the English version is Flying Saucers, A Myth of Things Seen in the Sky, and its original name in French, I guess, was A Modern Myth. But the word myth, in that type of circles, the Campbell-Jung type circles, doesn't mean fraud or misunderstanding. Myth is, in a sense, more real than real, or what we call real. And he specifies that he thinks that the radar cases are convincing enough that there is a physical phenomenon, however, the reaction to it is archetypal, and that's a more complex thing, so I suspect that's one of the least read of the books with the title Flying Saucers Anything in it.
Right, and I think, wasn't that, you guys can probably confirm this, but I think that came out sometime in the late 50s.
Correct.
Right, so it took about 47, 50, so a decade or so before people started to really challenge this whole notion that what we're dealing with are craft of some kind, some sort of engineered device.
I'm trying to put that together. That's an interesting question. My feeling is that it was Jacques Vallée writing Passport to Magonia. Here's a scientist freely admitting that he's stepping outside of orthodox science to explore the nature of UFOs without setting this automatic theory that, well, they're either misidentifications of the temperature inversions or whatever, balloons, whatever, all of the above, or they're spaceships from another planet. And Passport to Magonia provides a really good foundation for that. When I met Vallée the first and only time in Chicago in 1965, he hadn't arrived at that point yet. He was showing off the French version. In fact, he showed it to Jim Moseley and not to me and not to anybody else that was there. And Jim didn't read French, but stumbled his way through it. I forget the name of that book. It's not much remembered now because it was a conventional UFOs are real and extraterrestrial book that he wrote with his wife is credited as co-author.
So Passport Magonia, that came out like about 10 years later again. So after Young, then I think the late 60s. So then we're talking about, another decade. So over 20 years, we start to see this shift away from nuts and bolts craft coming here from other worlds to the idea that they're more a subjective phenomena.
No, I don't think subjective is the right term. I think that what Vallée is pointing out is that it's part of a much broader spectrum of things that have been seen through the centuries and experienced through the centuries, as far back as you can go, really, from apparitions and religious experiences and fairy lore, which he leans on fairly heavily, all the way up to the present.
At the present, we have this announcement. Alan, Jean, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Look, it's a non-smoking flight for the next 2 hours and 17 minutes, but for those of you that need a cigarette, there's really this evening. We have two entertainment lounges for you. One's out there on that left wing, the other one right across the hallway on the right wing.
Good afternoon, this is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. A couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a .357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Barracata 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
This is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
As we continue with Alan Greenfield, how the strange phenomena was interpreted. Go ahead.
The point is that somewhere in the mid-1960s, is my guess. I haven't had any further contact with Golay directly. He switched from the ETH to, this is a much broader thing. It includes what are now called cryptids. It includes perhaps ghost lore. It certainly includes fairy lore, which he draws on very heavily, and UFOs, and a number of other things. I shifted during that same period, and I suspect Bollet was a major influence. I don't remember exactly when it started, but I started bringing out a newsletter that was specifically devoted to the notion. I think it was called Alternate Horizons Newsletter, and the name kind of says it all.
That was the name, I remember.
Yeah.
Or as Mr. Well, Spock said, remember.
Yes, well, he's an alien from another planet.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. So that was back in the late 60s. So how have you evolved your thinking from that time to the present then?
Well, once I began to look at it in those terms, and I was not the only one, as it turns out, I began to look at this broader range of phenomena, and they seem to have points in common. Somewhere around the mid-1970s, the first book about near-death experiences was published. And again, I went to a forum where the author spoke. Then there was a spate of books about that, and I thought, well, maybe not the classic contactee cases, but certainly the abduction cases seem to fit the same modus operandi as near-death experiences. And then that theory has been further developed because there are apparently what are called shared death experiences, where people gathered around the deathbed of a loved one co-experience it with them. Well, you can make of it what you want to, but the point is the similarity. Whatever is happening with abduction cases is also happening with people exiting this world in the traditional sense of exiting this world. So it was one area after another that seemed to fall into the same categories. Fairy lore includes abduction cases. It also, there are contactee cases that involve a descent into a mountain that is Well, Gene was there. Round Mountain, North Carolina is a classic case.
Yes, I remember when we visited that with you.
Yeah, well, actually, I was there with Jim Mosley and Tim Beckley at a later date as well. But, I mean, we talked to Ralph Lael. In fact, you interviewed him on tape, as I recall. I have a photo of that. If you
I understand. I'm asking you to hide it. Don't let anyone see that. That photo, does not exist. It does not exist. Otherwise, if you try to display it, a hand will reach out from your computer's display and go right to your neck.
Okay. You've convinced me. I've never used it. But mentioning it, Lael's story, and Lael, I think he'll back me up on this if you remember. He was a backwoods guy, not prone to read European mythology, let alone Wagnerian opera. His story is a lot like the Venusberg story. The difference being is that when he is taken into Brown Mountain, he is whisked away to Venus, the planet Venus, or the comet Venus, according to Velikovsky. The Venusberg is the home of the fairies, according to European lore, going back at least to the early Middle Ages, and many troubadours and mime singers embroidered the story of Tannhauser's descent into the fairy hill and meeting the goddess Venus. That just all seems to me to be more than a coincidence. And the fact that Lael was a good old boy from the country kind of reinforces that, because the notion that he had any knowledge of the kind of folklore that came out of mime singers and troubadours is almost preposterous. He was not all that smart. He was rumored to be a moonshiner. And he was a yarn spinner, but within the yarn was the same yarn that Tannhauser told in the 12th century. So that is a good example of how things that are disparate and looked at by disparate people are seen to be coinciding. So the further along that I got in time, the more I was convinced that this was a spectrum of phenomena. I do put a lot of credence in the many worlds and interpretation of quantum mechanics. I don't think it's a sure thing, and I don't think anybody who even postulates it is a sure thing. But as I said, either at the beginning of the show or before we went on the air, the math works. And if that does turn out to be the case, that's a much better explanation of where people go and where these things come from than E.T. phoning home.
Or we have two separate sets of phenomena where there are alien craft, and then people are still having these other experiences, and the two of them aren't necessarily related in the way that people think they are.
Possible. I see so many cases that if I don't evaluate them as insignificant in that they are probably misidentified natural phenomena, aircraft, balloons, meteors, whatever, the cases that are, type 2, type 3, 4 cases, all are suggestive of that spectrum of reports. They resemble ghost cases, especially those from the Society for Psychical Research, which I used to be an elected member of. And somehow they seem to have, I wouldn't say abandoned, but put on the back burner ghost cases. But back in the day, they did excellent work on that, in contrast to the television ghost hunters, with the exception of the Hellier group. My feeling is that if the cases are sufficient to have any kind of real information about what the witness or witnesses experienced, it falls into the same category as this whole range of phenomena. The other issue here is resistance. Almost everybody who, and this, there are exceptions to this, but almost everybody who is, I don't know what you would call them, an apparition seeker or a ghost hunter, it just, the term ghost hunter has gotten a bad rep because of people with, plumbers with devices to measure temperatures and mediums that...
Right, and REM pods and all that. Yeah, I mean, like, who really needs all of that? That's been a fairly big criticism of the whole thing. But, I mean, I guess you could just call, let's just say paranormal investigators, catch-all term for, you know, anything that's kind of weird going on out there.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the pop media stuff, it just steers people wrong. It's for commercial purposes, and as I said earlier, it's basically acting. In my informed, not necessarily correct, but informed opinion. And that's why I'm so excited about the Hellier thing, because it does really show what real field research is like.
I was just kind of scanning on the side here on one of my monitors, and I'm noticing it says here that in the 70s, while you were out at Brown Mountain, you were approached by a man in black in your motel room.
That is a truly bizarre story.
You've got to tell us that story.
But you have to, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to tell that story in our next segment. Confronted by a man in black. Not Johnny Cash, by the way. Gene, Randall and Alan, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.